No, I listen to it all the time. I tell all my friends to smack it raw.
Podcast contains mature content. The views and opinions expressed by the co-host are not necessarily those of the host. Listener discretion is advised. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Smackin' Raw Podcast, episode 206. I am your host, the Warden Matt Ritter, and stepping in for Daddy Delgado today, the returning Sir Cussle, Transporter, aka the Dragon King, aka Big T, aka Sweet T, aka T Money, aka Black Merlin, aka the HNIC.
Was that
Travis, it is good to have you back, man. Like, I love Vince, but I missed you. I did.
And you know, honestly, it's only been 6 weeks. Honestly, I miss doing this show sometimes. It's just like, you know, there's random weeks when it's just like I feel like fucking with Matt, and I'm not doing Smackin' It Raw this week, so I can't really fuck with Matt. Then I'm like, I should just pop onto the show just to fuck with Matt. But it's just like, but then it gets to be that time, and it's just like, it's 11 o'clock, man. I'm going to sleep. There's been multiple times during, like, you know, the times that I'm not on the show where I've thought about just popping onto the show.
Well, you're back.
I may or may not have watched Raw, SmackDown, NXT, or AEW.
Like, we'll get into that.
I go in and just be like, yo, just tell me everything that happened. And we'll get into that.
But before we get into that, as we always do, Travis, I'm going to need you to pull up that Instagram, because now not only are you back, but as we'll talk about later, Sasha is back.
She is. She came back because she knew I was doing the show this week, and she knew that I'd see her and I'd be ready to slide in her DMs. Like, that's really what it is.
No more fitting time for us to do this show than for that. And in honor of Sasha returning, I'm gonna cut that off because we're gonna get in trouble. And you got one. It is two dancing pandas shaking their hips and moving their paws back and forth. For those audio listeners out there who cannot see it, you should be able to see it just fine. It was fairly clear.
You audio listeners, go over to YouTube and, you know, subscribe and watch it there. Like, please, please. I'm being nice right now, please.
He is being nice. A nice thing that happened on the 200th episode was, I think Travis and TC finally squashed their beef after a while. That's done and over with. So
did we?
Yeah, you did. So
I don't know we if should I have did that.
No issue in talking about you guys going and getting those NWO style Black Lives Matter t-shirts. That is my pin tweet at Matt Ritter.
I don't recall doing that. Like, I feel like you're making this up. I feel like that's what I wanted to have happen.
I'm pretty sure it happened, and if you go listen, you'll be good to go.
You know, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, I know. Also, you were drinking, but anyway, those Black Lives Matter t-shirts at my pin tweet from What a Maneuver. That money goes into a fund, and that fund is distributed to people affected who have lost loved ones to police brutality, racial injustice, so on and so forth. The things that we talk about here that are very important and are still happening.
Yeah.
As we say every week, no new laws are passed. The shit's still going on. Biden was elected. Nothing changed.
Politics, brother. But yeah, yep. I 100% you know support that and what they're doing over there. But it's just still fuck TC and four motherfuckers that look like him. But
I really thought that was done. Let's talk a little news and rumors. Are you familiar with Matt Cardona?
The name sounds familiar.
You might know him as Zack Ryder.
Oh, that fool. Yeah.
So after he got released from WWE, he went and started doing some indie stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then Nick Gage, the guy that just fought Jericho on AEW in the main event.
The one that almost killed David Arquette.
Yeah, that guy. He is champion, or he was champion of a little company called GCW, an independent kind of ECW-esque company that is famous for doing death matches, because that's what Nick Gage does, is death matches. He's like white New Jack, okay. But on meth instead of cocaine. So
he does cheap shit.
Matt Cardona went there and beat him in front of a GCW crowd in a death match for the GCW World Heavyweight Championship. After trolling the fans and calling them like the GCW universe and playing up, you know, basically all of the stuff that those independent wrestling crowd fans hate about WWE and mainstream wrestling.
That's fucking brilliant.
Because that's the guy he is. So after he won, they pelted him with beer bottles and shit in the ring. Whatever they get their hands on, they were throwing at him in the ring. And he dropped to his knees and for as long as he could did the Shawn Michaels after Shawn Michaels won the WWE title.
That's fantastic.
So
that might be my favorite thing that I've ever heard on this show.
There's been a lot of bullshit about people saying that fans shouldn't be throwing shit in the ring, especially glass bottles, blah, blah, blah.
Probably not.
Controversy.
But so what?
Like, it's heat. Like, yeah, you said, it's heat.
It's one of the things, like, you know, you can't buy that kind of heat. Like, it's, I mean.
Not if honestly, you tried.
I mean, it's the kind of thing that used to happen all the time, though. Like, not all the time, but used to happen on shows a lot. Like, we just finished on Return to Wrestling that you should watch on Patreon. When that
should be coming out very soon, right?
Yeah, this weekend, most likely. I'll just, you know, I'll be switching it over to being available to everybody.
But that's not this episode. That's the next episode. So the one that you and I recorded that you're talking about will be the next episode.
Yeah, sure. I can't keep track of that.
We're at Bat.
I'd have to look at it. Like, it's just.
We're not at Bash at the Beach. We're at the one before it. For everyone.
Was that Super Brawl? Who knows? It's WCW. They changed it every year. They went in different orders all the time. Who the fuck knows?
Great American Bash. It'll be Great American Bash for them, and then Bash at the Beach.
Okay. Well, if you pay attention and you subscribe to the Patreon, you'll see, you know, some shit getting thrown in the ring then too, and it fit. So
it did. On the brighter side, Titus O'Neil has had an academy, a school, part of Hillsborough County Middle School, a building named after him, is obviously his real name. It's not the Titus O'Neil Academy. It's the Thaddeus. Shit, what's his real name?
I didn't know people actually named their kid Thaddeus.
Yeah, Thaddeus Michael Bullard Sr. Academy is now part of the Hillsborough Countyside Middle School, in honor of just everything he's done in that community and in that county for kids and youths and everything like that. So
yeah, it's really cool for him. It is.
Yeah. And then Vince McMahon had some comments on a recent call about AEW where he was asked if he felt that AEW was competition. And not only did he say that they weren't, he said he doesn't even know what they're doing with their investments. And maybe he should release some other wrestlers so that they can pick them up.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Well, so the issue is that he's talking about releasing more fucking people as if it doesn't matter.
Because they keep picking him up. It's not like they're not finding work when he releases them.
Yes and no. I mean, they haven't picked everyone up, but they have picked up quite a few. And I mean,
who has been released by WWE that can't find work right now?
I haven't seen Curtis Axel. I haven't seen Bo Dallas. I haven't seen the Iconics, Ruby Riott.
All these Lana. People are big names. If they haven't found work yet, it's because they don't want it.
So I'm just saying AEW is not picking everyone up.
No, I'm saying AEW is not picking everybody up, but I'm talking about the whole thing where everybody's like, oh, he's putting people out of work. Like, nah, they're still out of work right now because they're choosing to be. Like, all of them are big enough names that any other promotion will pay them money to go there. If AEW hasn't picked them up yet, TNA's garbage ass shit will pick them up. Ring of Honor will pick them up. They can do multiple indie shows if they want to. Like, they can get work. Like, it's not like any of them can't get work. I'm not nearly as upset about it as a lot of people are. If you don't like that, whatever. You know, I'm sorry.
Travis, don't care.
I don't. Like, honestly, you know what? Me being back on this show, we go way back, right? We go all the way back to the fourth grade. And in the fourth grade, we went to a Christian school, and we studied the Bible very often. There's a Bible verse that I want to quote here. I learned this a while ago.
Okay.
I didn't learn this in school back then, but it's just appropriate now. But I learned this a few years ago. Galatians 4:16, as opposed to John 3:16, where it says, like, have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And basically what I'm saying is none of them are hurting. They're fine. You all get all so upset about people being released, and it's just like, they're fine. They don't need your outrage. They're okay.
Isn't that Bible verse fairly relatable to your theory on heels in general?
Yeah. Yeah. The best heels are the ones that give you a little hint of truth when they're talking their shit. They make you go,
you don't want to hear it. It's the truth you don't want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last but not least. So you did not watch AEW, I'm assuming, because it's fucking Travis.
No, I did not. You know, and I said to myself earlier today, I'm like, you know, I said to myself, I said, self, myself said, I'm like, self, you have time probably. You can probably watch AEW this week. And then I said to myself, you know, you're right. I probably could watch AEW this week. And then I just didn't.
Okay. Well, Nick Gage, the guy that we were talking about earlier.
But. I tried.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You thought.
I did.
See, trying would actually be turning on the show and getting through like maybe half a match and be like, no, fuck this.
I turned it on and they started it off with a 10-man tag match and I said, fuck this.
Do you know what the 10? We'll get into that. We're not talking about that. So anyway.
Like, they literally said we're starting with a 10-man tag match and I'm like, really? Yeah, no, I'm not doing this.
So we'll get into that when we get to AEW. What's important is the main event. Chris Jericho, Nick Gage, no rules. During this main event.
Oh, I heard about this.
Nick Gage runs a pizza cutter across Jericho's forehead. And then immediately afterwards, they cut to commercial. And it is a Domino's commercial where they are running a pizza cutter across a pizza.
Beautiful.
Everyone thought it was. I showed it to my wife. She cracked up. Everyone thought it was great. But because they brought attention to it, Domino's got wind of this. And Domino's was not fucking happy.
Then Domino's doesn't have a sense of humor, and I will never buy Domino's again now.
So Domino's said they are considering removing their sponsorship from AEW because
remove it. Nobody wants your trash ass cardboard crust pizza anyway.
Well, we can say that because we've had better pizza because we're from Chicago. I did find out that apparently
other in outlying areas, pizza places are all better than them too. Like, Pizza Hut's better than them. Papa John's is better than them. Hell, Little Caesars is better than them.
My wife will fight you on that because she loves her some Domino's for some reason. If she's gonna get chain pizza, that's where she goes.
She hates Pizza Hut. I feel like she should know better.
But I'm here's where it gets even better. Kate. Here's where it gets even better. PBR, Pabst Blue Ribbon, decided to step in and shoot their shot at AEW and said, fuck Domino's. Pick us up as your sponsor. And then they hit up Hangman Adam Page on Twitter and said, hey, we've got some ideas. I think we could make this work. Like, they shot their shot. They're like, yeah, Domino sucks. Let us sponsor you. PBR. And they've been tweeting AEW all fucking day, and I've been dying laughing.
See, that's the kind of thing you need to get Travis's attention. Because I'm all for that level of pettiness. Mm-hmm. Like, let me go. Let me. You know what? I will watch AEW just to see the Pabst Blue Ribbons commercial.
So, I don't know. Last week, I said some things about Nick Gage. Might have been a little unfair. I called him Trailer Park Jesus. I insinuated that maybe he might smoke meth, or at least his followers do. And maybe that was a little unfair. It's mostly because his teeth are as crooked as Shawn Michaels' eye, and he kind of looks like Shawn Michaels, but he's way younger.
So he looks like bald Shawn Michaels now,
mm-hmm.
but younger?
No, he is younger, but he looks almost exactly like bald Shawn Michaels. Actually,
with the crooked eye?
Without the crooked eye, but he's got the crooked teeth instead. They're all fucked up.
Well, the thing is, with meth, your teeth fall out. They don't get crooked.
I was going to say, there was a joke about how the reason he signed with AEW was so Britt Baker would fix his teeth. That's why he did that match. That's the only reason he was there. So Reek posted that on Twitter. And then Kenny from A Kenny for Your Thoughts actually posted, when he was talking on his show, he posted Nick Gage, All Elite, and it was a picture of Shawn Michaels with the wonky eye. And he's like, oh, shit, wrong guy. So like, it's a thing. But I might have been a little unfair. I also talked about how he's advocated for trans rights and things like that. It's just, here's my thing. Like, when you're Nick Gage and your whole thing is like a cult following that you call the MDK gang, it feels very insane clown posse to me. Like, it feels very Juggalo to me.
Stand for?
I know you've seen it, Travis. You know what MDK stands for because you've seen Demolition Man.
I saw Demolition Man when I was like 8.
You haven't watched Demolition Man since you were 8?
No, not really.
The fuck are you doing with your life?
A lot of things.
Oh my god. Murder, I'm death, kill.
A lot.
Murder, death, kill.
Oh, I did know that.
Yeah. Murder, death, kill gang is what his followers consider themselves. That feels very insane clown posse-ish to me. Like,
yeah.
I get Juggalo vibes from that. And I just I can't fuck with that. Like, that's why I said what I said. So
I feel you.
I feel like he's kind of, so you know how like Stone Cold was the blue class hero?
Yeah.
The working man's hero.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Dusty was, you know, same son of a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he's a trailer park hero because like there's nothing exceptional about Nick Gage other than he is ultra violent and people who are his fans watch him and feel like I don't have to be special, but I can be really angry and violent. And then it'll make me tough like Nick Gage.
See, stuff like that, I need you to chill. Some people ain't gonna like this, but shit like that is how 45 got elected. Stop that.
I'm not advocating for it. I'm saying that's what's going on.
I hear you. Just saying.
Like, so, it's like when Italians see Rocky and then they all think they can box. Like, it's the same shit.
I feel you.
So, Nick Gage is the Rocky of the trailer park.
Gotcha.
Let's get into the show
now.
You want me to go through AEW since you didn't watch it?
We can pretend it didn't happen, but yeah, sure, go ahead and tell me about AEW.
All right, so we kicked it off with a Survivor Series-esque 10-man tag team match, 5v5 elimination. Stipulation is that if the Elite Squad defeats the Dark Order Cowboys, then the Dark Order Cowboys no longer get a tag team title match, and Adam Page is no longer number one contender for Kenny Omega's AEW title. He's actually out of the top five, and the Elite Squad, which is Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and the Good Brothers, who all came out dressed up in Looney Tunes Space Jam-esque jerseys.
I watched the entrances on, you know, and dribbling. I saw that, and I will say, like, the Dark Order and Hangman had a pretty dope entrance, but the Elite Squad enters, I'm like, stop this. You stop this now.
Well, you've also missed that the Young Bucks have been coming out and creasing very expensive shoes on purpose to piss sneaker fans off. Like the Get Yo Boys, very upset about this.
Here's the thing, I'm not a sneakerhead, but even I know, like, you don't do that. Like, it's just,
yeah, like they're purposely creasing.
I appreciate a good pair of sneakers, but I'm not by any means a sneakerhead, but like, you do that, like, even I'm offended by that. Why would you do that? Because they're heels. So, exactly. That's what I said.
The Elite Squad defeat the Dark Cowboys, or the Dark Order Cowboys. And that means Adam Page doesn't get his title shot, which is weird because this whole thing was like, everyone was so excited that Adam Page was going to get his hands on Kenny Omega and finally become champion, because Adam Page is the best thing about AEW, except for Malakai Black now, because my boy's there, and we're going to talk about that too.
I mean, we've talked about this before, how AEW is like all the bad parts of WCW without embracing how bad it is. And that's a classic WCW thing, which is like, hey, here's what everybody wants, but we're not going to do that yet.
Well, the reason why is there are rumors that both Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, and CM Punk, it seems more than rumors, have officially signed with AEW. AEW is putting on a show in September for Ramp, or in August for Rampage, at the United Center called The First Dance. And I believe August is when they're having All Out in Chicago. So it's heavily thought that CM Punk will be debuting at the United Center.
So 100% sure that this whole CM Punk thing is only because they're in Chicago and somebody just said that shit. So it's everybody's running.
Oh, no. The rumors about CM Punk signing, or quote unquote rumors, confirmation that CM Punk has signed a contract. Like, this is more than just like the regular, oh, CM Punk, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's been confirmed that both of them have signed contracts with AEW.
It's been confirmed to an extent.
Who? Dirt Sheets.
Okay. So after he doesn't show up at this show in Chicago, I'm more inclined to believe Daniel Bryan will, but I don't think CM Punk is. I just don't think he is. I think he's done wrestling. But if it actually does happen, here's what I'll say. If CM Punk shows up at that show, the next week I will watch AEW Dynamite and I'll do Smackin' and Raw that week.
Okay. We also had Andrade and his new handler, Chavo Guerrero Jr. Chavo is managing
Chavo.
Andrade.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So as I've been trying to tell you, AEW has been getting better. I've been getting into it. They have been getting better. So Andrade and Chavo have been trying to get the Lucha Bros to like come work for them. So I guess they had some travel issues and Pac was waiting for the Lucha Bros to show up because of that whole death triangle thing that they have going on.
Are they no longer with Jericho or?
No, that's not the Lucha Bros. That's Proud and Powerful.
What did the Lucha Bros used to do?
Lucha Bros are the guys that
I know who they are. They were teaming with other people before, though. Who were they teaming with last
time? They were with Pac, and then they were also teaming with Eddie Kingston for a little bit after Pac went away.
That's what I was remembering. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm remembering now. Proud and okay. Yeah.
So Pac came back. Eddie Kingston's group broke up. He's back with them. So he's back with Pac, and Andrade is trying to get him to come work for him. They're like, Eddie Kingston's still around. He's Mox's best friend now after he saved him from the poor explosions and the exploding barbed wire death match.
Oh God.
So they're friends again. So anyway, apparently Andrade sent a limo to go pick up the Lucha Bros, and they just kind of rubbed it in Pac's face. Like, hey, they're your family, but you couldn't get them a ride here, so we sent them a really nice limo, so they should be arriving. We'll be waiting for them. Tell them to come find us.
Yeah.
We got the FTW celebrations. Fucking Ricky Starks runs his mouth. Brian Cage breaks up the celebration. They run off. Nobody fucking cares. New Japan's Tanahashi is challenging the winner of the U.S. title match from later tonight.
There's a U.S. title?
There's a IWGP U.S. title. So this is New Japan's United States title that John Moxley was holding.
Wait. As someone who doesn't watch New Japan, I need you to clarify something. New Japan Pro Wrestling in Japan.
Yes.
As a United States title.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's been held by Kenny Omega, Lance Archer, John Moxley, and Lance Archer.
I guess it's not as weird any more weird than WWF having a European title, but
right.
Yeah. I mean that's weird too, but you know.
Yeah. FTR defeat Proud and Powerful, which are the guys that are with Jericho. But here's what's cool. So FTR is with Tully Blanchard, right? Guess who's running with Proud and Powerful now?
With Proud and Powerful?
Santana and Ortiz.
Who would be running with them? Tully Blanchard's with FTW.
FTR, yeah.
FTR, I'm sorry. I don't know who.
Travis.
Ricky Steamboat?
Nope.
Nah, I don't know who.
How can I put this? Orale, viva la raza. Holler if you hear me.
I don't know about the holler if you hear me, but Conan?
Yes, it is Conan. So Conan managed them as LAX 2.0 in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is here with them, kind of managing them again, even though they're still part of the Inner Circle.
Okay, okay.
So you he said was DJing. Tully
Blanchard, I'm like, wait, is there something that has something to do with the Horseman? That's why I went to Ricky Steamboat, who went up against the Horseman. But okay, I got you.
But no, it's Conan, because I figured you'd be excited about Conan.
I am happy to hear that Conan is there.
So Conan's there, basically doing LAX 2.0 in AEW.
I mean, LAX is pretty dope in TNA. Like, that was one of my favorite things that I saw there. So
we got Britt Baker talking about how Nyla broke her wrist, but she still beat her, and she's getting sick of all these women coming for her. So she's going to go get herself some people that'll have her back that she can trust that aren't part of the company as of now. Rumors are it's the Iconics, but I've been listening to their podcast, and it doesn't really sound like they're looking to get back into wrestling. Like,
that's what I'm saying, what I was saying earlier. Like, these people don't have work because they don't feel like it. Like, they don't have to.
Well, so they've been doing this podcast, and like Cassie, which was Peyton Royce, has been talking about how she wants to get into acting full time. They're both talking about having full fledged families in the next 5 years.
Yeah, and she's
which doesn't mean they can't wrestle, she's but
been like, you know, competing in bodybuilding and stuff like that. She just competed in the bikini competition like a year ago. Like, she,
yeah,
they're doing other shit. They're all good. So, chill, y'all.
But she is Britt's gonna go get some friends to have her back. Darby Allin says that he will be at the United Center for the first dance, and then says he doesn't care who shows up, even if it's the best in the world. Once again, poking that CM Punk button, getting everyone excited.
Nope. I already shared this in the group. It is not CM Punk. It is Shane McMahon. That's what it is. You heard it here.
If Shane McMahon shows up on AEW, I would probably shit myself more than I'd shit myself if it was CM Punk coming back.
Like, that would be probably so great. The thing is, because so many people would be mad, and I'd love it.
Oh, oh, they'd be pissed. Oh, they'd be pissed. Hikuleo, which is the son of Haku.
Oh.
Hikuleo is the son of Haku, the son of Meng.
Yeah.
So
I like Haku.
He had a U.S. IWGP U.S. title match against Lance Archer. Daddy came out to support him ringside. So you had the son of Haku with Haku ringside versus Lance Archer with Jake the Snake Roberts ringside for a New Japan title match on AEW.
You're right. Maybe I should have watched AEW. I would have got to see Conan and Haku.
Conan and Haku and Sting.
I mean, I've seen Sting.
And Chavo.
I've seen Sting recently, but yeah, Chavo. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lance Archer ends up winning the match. Okay. But
how's apparently Jake been? Because he I've seen some weird shit from him, and then I haven't seen anything recently.
He seems fine. He seems to be doing all right. I mean, he's just a weird fucking horny old man with a really fucked up childhood. I don't know if you watched The Dark Side of the Ring on him, but like a really fucked up childhood.
I've seen like clips and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. he's I mean, he's not gonna be okay because I mean, he lived through
not,
that, but
he's not okay. Yeah, yeah.
He's the best he's gonna be, and he's got steady work, so he's, you know. So Hikuleo is part of the Bullet Club. Also, so Meng's son is part of the Bullet Club over in New Japan.
Oh.
So that's also a thing. We got Cody in the gorilla position, and he gets up to give one of his inspired "I'm gonna end racism" speeches, and my boy Malakai Black comes and boots him right in the fucking mouth and shuts him up, and made me so happy.
I'm gonna end racism.
So there's been a whole thing where like Cody gives these inspiring speeches about like he comes out dressed like Homelander and he talks about how his America is America.
Oh, I've seen some of that.
Yeah. So every time he gets up and he's in, it looks like he's going to give an inspired speech. It's always he's how he's going to end racism because he's got a biracial child and he doesn't see color and blah, 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 blah. So he's Homelander gets. No, he's not. He's the baby face.
You sure?
Well, technically, per wrestling standards, he's the baby face and Malakai Black is the heel. But when Malakai Black kicks Homelander in the face, Malakai Black, in my eyes, is automatically the baby face.
That's what I'm saying. The way you're describing this is happening, it sounds like Cody's a heel.
So they brawl out onto the stage. Cody gets laid out. And then Fuego del Sol, who is this Mexican wrestler that everyone's been like, telling AEW they should sign. I guess he's been working dark and maybe a dark elevation and all the stuff.
Dark comes elevation.
Yeah, it's a Monday show that's basically just another AEW dark. They're gonna have like four shows by the end.
So there's AEW dark and then there's AEW dark elevation.
Yeah, so dark is on Tuesdays, elevation is on Mondays or Thursdays. I don't know. Dark's on one of those days. It's
that's
I think that's
way more AEW than anybody needs to watch.
Yeah, exactly. So they've got a 1-hour show on Mondays, a 2-hour show on Tuesdays, and then the Wednesday show, and then they're going to have a 1-hour show on Fridays after SmackDown. That's actually going to be on TV, not on YouTube. The other shit's on YouTube.
And don't get me wrong, there's too much WWE TV too.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Like 3 hours for Raw is ridiculous. I still say it. I will never stand down from that stance. Like, why are you doing that?
So anyway, Fuego del Sol comes out to check on Cody.
That's why. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Fuego del Sol comes out to check on Cody, and he gets dropped with one of the nastiest black mass kicks I have ever seen. And my favorite thing is, you know, the Simba where he's checking on Mufasa after Mufasa has been run over by the, yeah. Somebody used that picture of Simba and put it on top of a knocked out Fuego del Sol and meme that shit. It was great. We got a Miro promo. He is your TNT champion. He is God's chosen champion. And he's talking about how Lee Johnson. Darby? Oh, he beat Darby.
Oh, that's great. Continue. Yeah. Go ahead.
And he also got his own custom colored title now. So instead of the black title that Darby had, now he's got a white title with green lettering on it. Anyway, neither here nor there. He's cutting a promo about his match with Lee Johnson.
As long as and they how, stop defending that title, not on TNT, you know, like.
It's going to have to go to Rampage because Rampage will be on TNT and yeah. Dynamite's moving to TBS. So. Make Miro the guy on Rampage.
Wait. Say that again.
Dynamite is moving to TBS. And Rampage, which is going to be their second show during the week, that's a 1-hour show, I believe, on Fridays after SmackDown, will be on TNT.
Why? Like, you have an established audience. I don't run a network, so I'm not going to pretend to be an executive that knows what he's talking about. But logic dictates. You already have an audience. It's like, yeah, this is our Thursday, right? That's when
Wednesdays.
Wednesday night on TNT, we watch AEW Dynamite. Why would you move that show to another night and then put a different show?
I'm sorry. No, yeah. It's staying on Wednesdays, but it's going to be on TBS. So they're just changing the channel. And I think the reason for that is something to do with the hockey rights that they got with the NHL. And when they have their games, I don't know. I could be wrong. It's been a while.
TNT stuff, network stuff. Never mind. I follow. Mm-hmm. I take back what I said. Do what you got to do.
Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Jungle Boy defeated.
There was Luchasaurus?
Yes. Christian Cage and the Jurassic Express defeated Matt Hardy's handpicked members of the Hardy Family Office. It was another big tag team match, and I know how you hate those. But it's Christian and Luchasaurus on a tag team with Jungle Boy.
Who did Matt Hardy have?
I believe it was TH2 and the Acclaimed.
Who?
Exactly. Julia Hart loses to Thunder Rosa and Thunder Rosa's first.
Yo, we are still talking about AEW. How is this not over yet?
We're almost there. Julia Hart loses to Thunder Rosa.
Can we pretend we're there?
Literally two more things. Let me finish.
Or zero more things, and we can just...
Thunder Rosa's first match on AEW, officially, because she was in NWA. Worst.
I hate you so much.
Mox says that Tanahashi was ducking him, and now he's dead to him. Main event. Painmaker Chris Jericho defeats Trailer Park Jesus in labor number 3. And the one thing that Travis gave a shit about for the entire night is after the loss, MJF came out, addressed the fact that he at one point did not know who Juventud Guerrero was and said, what the hell is a Hoovy? But did his research. And next week on AEW Dynamite, which may get Travis to come on the show 2 weeks in a row, we will see Chris Jericho versus Juventud Guerrero in the third labor of Jericho.
If I turn on AEW Dynamite next week and I don't see Hoovy drop a 450 on Chris Jericho, I'm only coming on the show to cuss you out.
I mean, you got to realize the stipulation is Jericho has to hit a top rope move to defeat Hoovy. And the whole story is Jericho has to do 4 matches to get his match with MJF. So he's going to beat Hoovy next week.
If I don't see Hoovy hit a 450 splash on Chris Jericho, I am only going on the show to cuss you out.
Okay, that's fine.
How you wasted my time and energy to watch that.
I'm going to swallow AEW.
And I will only get on to do that. Then I will leave the show.
I actually enjoyed the main event, the no holds barred match, for as much shit as I gave Nick Gage, for what it was, with all the blood, the violence, the glass panes and light tubes and shit.
I've watched death matches before, and it's just
it was
like,
fun.
And I'm just like, why am I watching this?
Cutter kind of put it over.
I'm not into murder porn, but you know,
I understand that. So yeah.
However, the pizza cutter thing is funny as hell. So you know.
Are there any other shows you didn't watch this week?
No.
Okay. So then we can go back to like the normal thing where like I just run down the whole show and then we talk about what we swallowed and spit and then do it overall. Cool. Where do you want to go? Raw, NXT, or SmackDown?
Let's go with SmackDown while it's still in my head.
All right. We kick it off with John Cena, who is proud of missionary position and says, if you find somebody who can make missionary position entertaining for 20 years, hold on to that person.
Or get somebody that can make missionary position interesting, but it can still do other shit, John.
There's that too. He runs down Roman Reigns, basically says he's scared of him. Corbin comes out to seek help from John Cena. And Corbin can't get it up after last week. Apparently, when Shotzi's tank misfired and hit him in the dick, it gave him erectile dysfunction. And because of this, his wife left him on top of all of the other bad shit that's happened to him. So John Cena reaches into his pocket, grabs all of the money that he has and gives it to Baron Corbin. And this ungrateful, sorry son of a bitch, Baron Corbin, instead of taking the money and saying thank you, talks shit to John Cena. And John Cena realizes, you know what this guy's problem is? It's his attitude. So he adjusts it for him. I can't
leave it to John Cena to beat on the poor. Like, you know, it's just...
I was going to say, I can't wait to hear you spit the fact that John Cena's back, even though he's been entertaining as shit.
Listen, but see, here's the thing. I don't find him entertaining right now. Like, his whole promo was just him saying that Roman's scared of him. So basically, his whole promo, like Roman Reigns said later, was just basically just bashing Finn Balor. So, here's my thing. If I'm Roman Reigns, I don't give a shit about John either. Who the fuck are you? You've been gone for like forever. You think you can just show up and get a title shot? No, fuck you.
So
who do you think you are? You're not the Rock.
For any newer listeners who haven't been on here when Travis is here, normal format just kind of goes out the window when Travis shows up. So we're just going to talk. Forget about that.
I thought we were here to talk wrestling.
We are here to talk wrestling. There's a way we do it, though.
There's a way you normally do it, and there's the way you do it when I'm here.
Yeah. So anyway, John Cena, not only that, we'll just jump around.
What were you trying to do? I'll try to let you do what you were trying to do.
I literally just real quick run down the card and then go back and ask you what you swallowed and you talk about things you liked. And then I ask you what you spit and you talk about things you didn't. I mean,
that sounds like way less fun than what we normally do.
It's been working really well. I know. And it cuts out all the extra bullshit.
But the extra bullshit is fun.
No, like the extra bullshit in the matches that we don't care about, where we're not taking a lot of time talking about shit that doesn't matter.
Fine. Go ahead.
Ray says he's proud of his son and he defeats Jimmy Uso.
He's proud of Eddie's son.
We're throwing it out. It's done. We're gonna jump over to Finn versus Roman contract signing since we're on the John Cena kick, Travis. So we got this contract signing. Roman signs a paper. Corbin comes out, attacks Finn Balor, tries to sign the contract. John Cena comes out, attacks Baron Corbin, and then John Cena picks up the contract and fucking signs it himself.
Over screwing Finn Balor.
Screwing Finn Balor out of his title match at SummerSlam. This man is now a heel.
Here's
because
my
he fucked
thing.
Over a babyface.
He did. He did. 100% fuck John Cena. But this is not a legally binding contract. I don't care what Adam or
Sonya.
Why couldn't I remember her name?
I don't know.
That was so weird. Yeah, no matter what Adam or Sonya, this is not a legally binding contract. The printed name says Finn Balor. You have to draw up a whole new contract that John Cena signs. And if Roman doesn't sign it,
I'm sure Paul Heyman will talk about that.
I will call my attorney. Fuck you. However, what a great time this is right now. Because honestly, what I'm seeing happening right now in WWE makes me happy to my soul. And let me tell you why. Because the way I see this going down, the tribal chief Roman Reigns is going to crush John Cena. Big E, formerly Big E Langston, who no longer has a last name. They talk about that on the podcast every week. But he's Mr. Money in the Bank, so therefore he is now Big E Money in the Bank. Has the Money in the Bank contract. Title reign is coming. Over on Raw, the Almighty is going to dominate Goldberg.
God, I fucking hope so.
Oh my God, Matthew.
He better.
I am loving what is coming for SummerSlam, sir. I am so happy right
Listen,
now.
Listen, all I'm saying is Big E needs to go after Bobby or Goldberg, whoever wins that match, and it better be fucking Bobby, and go back to Raw and reunite with
Here's the thing. Only way I'm accepting Goldberg beating Bobby is if Big E cashes in and takes that title off of him right away. Like, that night.
Because... And here's why I say that. You got Edge. You got Roman. You got Kevin Owens. You got a pretty stacked main event on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. SmackDown is solid on stars.
You got Bobby and Drew on Raw.
Also on the women's side, you got Bianca. You got Sarah. You got, Sasha. Why did I say Sarah? What is wrong with me tonight?
I don't know, but that is a really good point because Bianca was here to tell us what's next for her. Carmella comes out, says she wants a shot. Zelina comes out and says she wants a shot. Bianca ignores Carmella, accepts Zelina's challenge. They both jump her.
I already beat you. Go away.
And like three times in like 3 weeks. Sasha returns, saves Bianca Belair,
who didn't
and
see
hugs
this
her.
Setup coming, y'all.
Oh, dude, listen. I was on Twitter. So here's the thing. I know you watched NXT, so you saw what happened. I don't know. I need Sasha Banks and Dakota Kai in a tag team. because that'll be the first time and only time I will not know who's going to turn on who. I will know it's coming, but there will be no way to guess which one of these backstabbing women are going to stab the other in the back first.
It's what they do.
Yes.
It is what they do. And it's just like when I was watching and, you know, I wasn't watching it alone. Imani was watching with me and we're watching this and I'm just like, there's 6 minutes left.
Yep.
There's the backstab coming. They're celebrating too long. She's going to. Yep. Oh, there it is.
So after Sasha returned and saved Bianca, they were put in a tag team match. It is Sasha and Bianca defeating Zelina and Carmella. And then, as Travis said, after they win the match and they hug and they celebrate, Sasha Banks does Sasha Banks shit.
Her coming out smiling, all like, that's not Sasha's. Heel Sasha is the best Sasha. I need you to keep doing that, okay? Just like Charlotte. Heel Charlotte is the best Charlotte. I still stand by heel Bianca is the best Bianca, but for right now, this is what we got. I'll take it. Whatever.
But listen, that Mania main event was fucking awesome.
Phenomenal.
So doing it again at SummerSlam, I'm all for.
I'm with it. You're right.
Because they let Sasha go away. It's not the shit we've been getting on SmackDown, where like every week we see the same match and it's going to be the match we're getting at the pay-per-view. Sasha's been gone. So run it back.
Run
it's
that been shit months. Back. Yes. Sasha versus Bianca again. Yes. I will watch that again.
Good shit. What else we got here? We got Shinsuke and Cesaro and Big E defeating Rudolph and Apollo. I just need Big E out of that fucking Intercontinental title scene. I don't know why he's there. I don't know why Rudolph is teaming with fucking Apollo when they also want the IC title, because that makes sense. Like, they all should be gunning for Apollo, but they're his friends.
They're buttering Reggie, him up so he'll give them a title shot.
Reggie defeats Otis via DQ.
No, he defeated Shorty G.
I thought they said that Otis was... I walked out for this to go grab food, so...
Yeah, he actually faced Gable. Otis picked up the mic and was like, it's not me, it's him. And then he hit him with a little shoulder block thing and then walked out and then let Gable do the match. Yeah.
Okay. Not important. Reggie won, retained his 24/7 title via DQ, which is the dumbest shit I've ever heard, but okay.
Yeah, and there was nobody else ran out to attack and try to get the 24/7 title or nothing. Like, what are y'all doing?
Because they've made it via R-Truth that anytime there's a sanctioned 24/7 title match, all of the 24/7 title rules and stipulations are suspended.
Yeah, but
until after the match.
Yeah, but the match was over and nobody came out after him, you know?
I don't know.
We need Truth to get that title back. That's the only time it's entertaining.
And last but not least, Seth comes out to complain about Edge, but the fans don't give a fuck. They want Becky. And they chant, "We want Becky," the entire time Seth is talking.
Give me that Becky.
Overall, how'd you feel about SmackDown? Spit or swallow?
I enjoyed SmackDown.
I did too.
So I'll swallow it.
Yep, I will swallow it. I mean, it's mostly just John Cena, Roman, and Bianca and Sasha, which was the main parts of the show.
I mean, but that was good shit. So it's just, you know, I mean, John Cena's promo wasn't really good to me, but it was, you know.
Also, apparently, when they did the replay of SmackDown last week, they edited out the missionary line, but then this week they played it back, not in full, but they played back the missionary position line that Roman Reigns did before John Cena cut his promo.
So he could hit his joke when he said, you know, the missionary. And then Roman said something about missionary position when he came out too. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Where are we going? NXT or Raw?
You know what? Let's go Raw.
We are welcome to Monday Night Raw by your Raw Women's Champion, almost a superhero, Nikki. So this pisses me off, Travis.
What pisses you off?
They announce her as almost a superhero, Nikki Ash. And that's Ash weird. Stands for almost a superhero. Yeah. It is the most redundant bullshit.
Yeah, almost a superhero, Nikki, almost a superhero. Yeah, that's stupid. You're right.
She gets to welcome us to Raw, says she's always wanted to do it. She gets very inspirational. We get a lot of "you deserve a chance." Charlotte comes out to shit in Nikki's Cheerios, claims that she isn't championship.
Pause. Question.
Yes.
Do you think she deserves it?
I do. Okay. She busted her ass down in NXT. She never got a title run while she was down in NXT. Mm-hmm. Came up to the main roster, was separated from the group that she came up with. Mm-hmm. And she's worked her ass off the entire time she's been there, trying to get off the ground, doing whatever they asked her to, doing the Alexa Bliss friendship shit,
yeah,
all that stuff. And she can wrestle her ass off. Like, yeah. So
the problem that I have with her, don't get me wrong, I'm actually glad she's a champ right now because it gives me something interesting. However, when I watch her matches, I see a lot of times where things like slow down for her to set something up.
Okay.
And I'm just like, I don't like that. Like when she does certain things, like everything like kind of slows down so she can set herself so she can do something. And it's just like, eh.
I don't know. So I'd have to go back and watch, but I don't know if that's so much her or if that's them producing her, because I feel like, especially when she was in NXT, that didn't happen, but also her,
but you the know way what I'm talking about,
her,
right?
Yeah. Okay. The way that they let her wrestle was more wild, crazy, flying around, not setting shit up. Whereas here,
but I think, like, you know, as much as people get sick of Charlotte, she's fucking good. So she can,
oh, yeah, it. No, she's like, she is, yeah.
So it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like when people get upset about her still, you know, being at the top of the title picture and all that kind of stuff. Like, I get why you're tired of seeing it, but at the same time, it's just like when you're that good.
Yeah. That's why your father was there for so long.
Galatians 4:16, people. That's just what I'm gonna say every now and then when it's just
Galatians 4:16.
Yeah.
Out says that she deserves the title. Shit, Charlotte took the easy way out.
You froze.
Nikki says that. Rhea comes out, says Nikki wants, or she wants Nikki because Charlotte took the easy way out in their match and got herself DQ'd. Nikki says they both need to back up. It's time for a change. Sonya and Adam Pearce come out and say it's going to be a menage a trois. Charlotte wants a match with Nikki tonight.
Love threesomes.
Charlotte wants a match with Nikki tonight. Nikki accepts. Charlotte takes out Rhea and then tries to go after Nikki. Nikki outmaneuvers her, but it doesn't matter because in your main event, Charlotte defeats your Raw Women's Champion, Nikki Cross. Says it's no surprise. Nikki wants a rematch. Charlotte accepts and then beats Nikki down. And, dude, it's so funny because everyone on Twitter is all upset. Like, why would you job out Nikki Cross? She's your champion. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, see? Go ahead, Travis.
Listen, I did it on Twitter. People, you can do it here. You need to give your baby face something to overcome. This is wrestling. What is wrong with y'all? I don't understand what you want. A story. You want a good story? You have a baby face who's coming up against some real adversity. She can overcome the adversity as the babyface over this big dominant heel. This big dominant arrogant heel.
So when she does prove that she is championship material by beating Charlotte,
it means more.
Thank you. But yeah, no, they're like, why put the title on her if she's just going to lose in her very first match to Charlotte and blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
did y'all just start watching wrestling yesterday?
You know, she won with the Money in the Bank. Like, this is the story they're telling, is Charlotte's going to say this shit. They're going to try and make you believe she doesn't deserve it, which clearly you're buying into because you're bitching about it.
Make it feel like she doesn't have a chance is what it is. And then she overcomes that and she retains the title over.
Yep.
People suck. I hate them so much.
You just be glad that I'm managing the 5,000 people on Twitter and you don't have to deal with them.
Yeah. You're right, because it wouldn't be good.
We broke 5K, by the way.
Whoop.
Sheamus loses to Damian Priest and then starts screaming that Priest rebroke his nose. AJ and almost defeat the Viking Raiders because we're just going to keep doing that. Because
Omos is a fucking beast. We're just waiting until Omos and AJ have a feud against each other, because that's what they're building towards here, clearly.
The worst friend ever, Drew McIntyre, goes out and beats up another one of Jinder Mahal's friends. This time it's Veer. He wins via DQ.
Yo, in my notes, I just have Drew McIntyre versus that other dude, because I didn't know his name, because I don't care about this Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal shit.
Jinder also brought out an attorney for the vicious attack last week on his other friend. Gave Drew a chance to say sorry, and instead, Drew claymored the lawyer, which is, in my experience, hitting a lawyer is not a smart move.
Probably not.
It's a very good way to get, very good way to get sued.
Yeah.
Eva Marie and Piper lose to Natty and Tamina because of the greatest thing ever. I'm taking this. This was not good enough for Hulu.
It was not.
So we'll get back to that. You see Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross.
Are you telling me they cut Keith Lee from Hulu? Are you telling me there was a Keith Lee match that I didn't see? I thought Keith Lee just wasn't on the show this week because they were just kind of saving him. Are you telling me there was a Keith Lee match and they cut that shit?
They did.
I'm spitting raw. I don't care what else happened or how great anything else was, because that Bobby Lashley shit was pretty fucking dope, but I'm spitting raw.
Let me ask you this. Did you see Mason T-Bar lose to Mansoor and Ali?
Who the fuck? No, no.
Okay.
No, no. I know who they are, by the way. I forgot about them. Yeah.
Lashley and MVP address Goldberg's challenge and the disrespect from Goldberg, and basically address it by saying, we're not dignifying him with a response.
Yeah, fuck Goldberg.
Then for whatever goddamn reason, Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, after months of being obscure and a broken up tag team, decide, hey, you know what? Now's the time to go back and talk to Bobby. Bobby Lashley, who flipped shit and destroyed Kofi Kingston. This is the Bobby Lashley
destroy we want to go have a conversation. Former world champion. They decide like, oh, I'm going to talk shit to Bobby. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Come out there and talk shit to the almighty.
To try and be relevant again, they get a handicap match that Lashley wins.
It was so great. They came out and they was like trying to talk their shit, and MVP like tried to like talk it down. Bobby like, no, I'll take them both out. Big match. Bob said, I got this. Whatever. I'll just take them both on. I'll whoop both their ass real quick and we'll move on.
And he did. Which is just build, like, they were just the sacrificial lambs to build him up to make him look even better for when he faces Goldberg.
Big match, Bob.
He hit a Dominator and a Jackhammer in that match. And I'm so glad to see the Dominator back.
Listen, I was so glad to see the Dominator myself. And honestly, if he started using the Jackhammer after he beats Goldberg.
Well, it's not like Goldberg can do it. So exactly. Well.
If he starts using the Jackhammer after he defeats Goldberg, that would make me the happiest wrestling fan on earth. Like, I want that. WWE, I'm going to start tweeting y'all. Or something. You know what? To tell you, like, after Bobby Lashley destroys Goldberg, have him start using the jackhammer as his finisher.
You know what made me the happiest wrestling fan on earth?
What made you the happiest wrestling fan on earth, Matt?
Johnny Drip Drip, John Morrison, not only defeated Matt Riddle, but then got his ass beat by Omos and AJ.
He did. He did.
And it was that alone is why I'm swallowing raw, because I just got to see Riddle in the worst position possible.
I'm with
and
you. Hashtag his, Riddle over Riddle, but I'm still spitting his raw.
Best friend Randy Orton didn't come down and save him because Randy did. I said this earlier.
Well, here's the thing. Randy is gone. Randy is not a good person. So
no, he's not.
He's not a good friend. I'm not surprised by that at all.
You talked about how, in your opinion, Riddle is the little brother, and you were the little brother, and you were that annoying little brother, and blah, blah, blah. But you also had Kobe and Marquise, who were kind of like the annoying little brothers that would bug the shit out of us and annoy us, right? So I compared Riddle and Randy Orton, because Randy Orton's off right now. Like, he's gone. Basically, what happened was Riddle annoyed the fuck out of him, and he just had to go away. Like, Riddle ran Randy Orton off WWE TV because he's that fucking annoying. And then he got his ass beat by AJ and Omos.
I mean, sometimes you got to let your little brother get his ass beat. Like, it's just, so they learn. Sometimes it's the only way they learn.
And Truth lost to Reggie in a 24/7 title sanctioned match. Reggie did flippy shit.
Not good enough for Hulu.
Not good enough for Hulu. Well, let's talk about that. Not good enough for Hulu, Monday Night Raw edition. Eva Marie and Piper lose to Natty and Tamina because Alexa Bliss and Lily reshot the Evolution commercial with Lily and called it the Lily Lucian and put it up on the Titantron during the match. And it was fucking fantastic. And Eva lost her shit. and that made them lose.
Oh, that's great.
Keith Lee loses to Karrion Kross. I'm not happy about it either, Travis.
I might just do the rest of the show from down here. Like, it's
I'm not happy about it either. He came back. Last week I talked to you and you're like, yeah, it's okay. We're just happy he's back.
Yeah, I don't.
But
I can accept last week. Last week made sense to me. This doesn't make sense to me.
Well, let me try and make it make sense real quick. To be fair, Karrion Kross is the NXT champion and he's the one that beat Keith Lee for the title. So this not being a title match or a major match, them having a history where he's already beaten Keith Lee and he's still champion and he needs to look big because he's got a match coming up with Samoa Joe on NXT. Beating a guy like Keith Lee is going to do that for him and get his credibility back after they screwed him over with Jeff Hardy last week on some bullshit.
You could have had him beat somebody other than Keith Lee, though.
Like, you know what's really going to piss you off? The rumor was that before Jeff Hardy got COVID and got taken out of this story, Jeff Hardy was supposed to wrestle him and beat him again this week. So he was supposed to lose to Jeff Hardy. And then they said, oh, well, we can't do that. So we'll have him beat Keith Lee.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay down here.
Mace and T-Bar, because they're still using those stupid fucking names, lose to Mansoor and Mustafa Ali in their newly formed tag team that Ali does not want to be a part of. Mansoor?
Who the fuck is Mansoor?
So, you know those non-canon Saudi shows?
Yeah, what about them?
Yeah, he debuted over there, and he was undefeated until he made his debut on Raw. They called him Saudi Taker because he was just winning matches in Saudi constantly. Every time they did a show in Saudi, he had a match and won.
Wow.
Then he was on 205 Live for a bit, debuted on Raw, lost his first match on Raw, ended his undefeated streak.
So he was now undefeated in Saudi, and they did the undefeated thing on a show that nobody watches. Continue. Okay.
Yes. And last but not least, R-Truth loses to Reggie for the 24/7 title. Reggie flips into the ring and out of the ring, avoiding all the 24/7 competitors. Truth doesn't get his belt back. So, not good enough for Hulu, Monday Night Raw edition. Even Piper loses to Natty and Tamina. Keith Lee loses to Karrion Kross. Mason T-Bar loses to Mansoor and Ali. And R-Truth loses to Reggie. All shit I don't, other than the Eva Piper thing, all shit I don't think you wanted to see anyway.
Yeah.
It's probably better they left it off Hulu.
I stand by my statement. I'm spitting raw.
I stand by my statement. Riddle getting his ass beat is enough for me to swallow.
I'm glad to hear that you're okay with seeing me suffer.
Well, I mean, turnabout's fair play, Travis.
Two wrongs don't make a right, Matt. All right.
I'm not trying to make a right here. I'm just trying to get even.
Touche.
You gonna get back in the chair for NXT?
No, I'm staying down here. I'm staying down here.
Okay.
That's so how I feel right now. I'm staying down here.
We kick off NXT with Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan defeating Tommaso Ciampa.
Who cares? They jobbed out Keith Lee again. All right. None of this matters. I don't care. Fuck them.
And Timothy Thatcher with the return of Ridge Holland, who was part of Pat McAfee's group and blew out both of his knees, fucked up both of his legs. He's back and he destroys Thatcher and Ciampa. We got the Hit Row promo on Legato.
I
feel like
I should have cared more about him coming back, but I didn't even remember his name.
Yeah. But how have you been feeling Hit Row?
I haven't seen Hit Row.
Did you see Hit Row on NXT tonight?
Not good enough for Hulu, brother.
God damn it. You saw Samoa Joe, though.
Joe is going to kill you. Speaking of which, Drew McIntyre. Everybody doesn't get the gonna kill you chant, all right? You are not worthy. Taz is gonna kill you. Joe is gonna kill you. That's it.
Drew's gonna kick you, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that. All right.
So Samoa Joe has a three-step plan to fix that bastard Karrion Kross, who beat Keith Lee on Monday Night Raw.
Solid.
And play. Choked out William Regal in the parking lot last week. Step one, he resigns as management from NXT. Step two, the thing we've all been waiting for, Samoa Joe is signed officially back to the active wrestler roster. And step three, title match against Karrion Kross at TakeOver. I cannot wait for that match.
I'm down for it.
LA Knight,
there's a 75% chance I won't watch it, but it seems like a cool match that I might be down to watch.
There's going to be another cool match between Walter and Ilya Dragunov from NXT UK, where they're just going to beat the living piss out of each other and slap the shit out of each other. I don't
know who that second dude is.
He's like this angry half-human, half-dragon. His name is Dragunov.
You have my attention.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question. Would I be interested in Ilian Dragunov? That's the name?
Ilya
Dragunov versus Luchasaurus match.
Oh, he doesn't dress or look anything like a dragon.
Boo.
Yeah. He's just angry like a dragon. His last name is Dragunov. But it might help you. I had my boy Justin at @HeelTactics_ on Twitter make a little hype video for this match to Du Hast by Rammstein that I can send you that might get you excited for it.
So I can like splice it into this episode.
I could send it to you. And you could try and splice it into the episode. I mean,
I'll do that, and then we'll probably like get a copyright claim on YouTube. But
you know, yeah,
guess what though.
You don't care.
I don't. It's too fast.
Did you see any of the stuff with LA Knight golfing with Cameron Grimes?
Yes, I saw the LA Knight and Cameron Grimes golfing stuff.
So
anytime I don't see Cameron Grimes being the heel that we all hate, I hate it because he was the only actual heel in NXT, and now there's no heels in NXT.
But he's been so fucking entertaining.
Is it entertaining though? Like, is
it is? He asked LA Knight how long he has to wash his balls for.
That
he hit him in the
funny.
Dick. He I'll hit him in the that. Dick with a golf club.
That was funny too.
It knocked him out.
But the problem, my problem still stands. There are no heels in NXT.
He got. I mean, Karrion Kross.
They don't boo Karrion Kross. They love Karrion Kross in NXT.
They boo the shit out of MSK, who are the tag team champions.
But they don't boo them because they're heels. Like, they boo them because fuck you. Like,
yeah, basically. Tried, Travis. I thought maybe you weren't watching and I could get away with that.
No, but it's the thing. I don't watch, and even I know that. Like, it's just like,
damn it.
Like, Cameron Grimes was the only actual heel in NXT, and he's no longer a heel. Now, like, he's lost all appeal. To me, at least. Like, it's I don't care.
So anyway, the whole time, Grimes getting sent to go fetch Knight's balls. Ted DiBiase stops by, has a little heart-to-heart with him, tells him, this is not what I want for you. I want you to fight. Too.
That wasn't Ted DiBiase. Who is this man giving inspiration and shit? Who is this dude?
I like to believe that it's more just fuck Cameron Grimes for what Cameron Grimes or not Cameron Grimes, fuck LA Knight for what LA Knight did to him than it was. Like, I feel like he's manipulating Cameron Grimes to go do his dirty work.
It just didn't feel like the Million Dollar Man to me. And I'm like, what is
I agree with that.
Inspirational
agree with that.
Speech shit that you're doing right now? What, where was the evil laugh? Where was that evil billionaire that cares only about himself? What are you doing?
This might be the Ted DiBiase that found Jesus.
Even the Ted DiBiase that found Jesus still also worshiped money.
Did you see the breakout tournament, Carmelo Hayes versus Josh Briggs?
I definitely saw Carmelo Hayes get that dub.
Mm-hmm. How you feel about breakout star Carmelo Hayes?
Clearly, he's the one that's supposed to win this tournament. And I'm with it. Like,
Once again, as I said the first time I saw Carmelo Hayes, he's got a few rough edges, but I can see why they see something in him. He's a future star. Like, is
yeah.
Like I see that. He's got the charisma. He's got that presence. Got to refine a couple things, but
and that's what NXT's for.
I see it. Exactly. And it's like, I see it. I'm with it. The dude he was facing, Briggs.
Josh Briggs.
Those tats, I'm like, okay, I see a Batman tat. I see a Green Lantern tat. I see a Superman tat. You all right?
Yeah, see, that gave me hope because it's like I was worried if I ever, not at fucking 34, it's ever going to happen because I'm nowhere near in shape or have even tried. But if I were to ever get into wrestling, I was always like, I wonder if like all of these horror movie tattoos with actual faces of people would, they'd let me get on TV with that shit. Apparently so.
Don't worry about it. Here's what we're going to do next summer, not this summer because this summer is over. We'll be in shape. And you'll get in the ring. I'm not doing that shit. I've always seen myself more as a manager than an actual wrestler. Like, I can be your MVP, you know, to okay. your big match Bob, you know? Like, we can rule the indie scene somewhere. Like, somewhere where they don't have a big indie scene. We find somewhere that like doesn't have a big indie scene, but the pair of us together, we can make it big and be like the main attraction there.
I've got some weights and that DDP yoga. I'll get back on that tomorrow. Get prepped for next summer.
We're going to be fucking famous in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota. Hey,
South Dakota, finally the rack has come back, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Dollar Bill will be your manager.
Dollar Bill, yo.
Hell yeah.
Frank, did you see the stuff with Frankie Monet and the Robert Stone brand?
Yeah.
So she's contemplating the possibilities of what the Robert Stone brand could be. Wait, now that she's taking over.
Never mind.
Well, this leads to the match. So.
I confused that with something else. No, I did not see that.
Okay, you saw Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez.
Though. Yes, I saw that though.
So Dakota and Giant Gonzalez call the locker room out, saying that they're all scared. Giant Gonzalez needs another contender. Dakota says, "As long as I've got your back, you'll always be champion." And then kicks her in the face with her back turned
because she no longer has her back.
It was emphasizes.
Brilliant. I love it.
And honestly, I want Dakota Kai to like Dakota Kai's been there a long time. She's well overdue for a women's championship run, and I'd love to see her take that title off Raquel Gonzalez.
Yeah, ever since she beat herself up in that match before the War Games match, you know,
it was, yeah,
I'm just like, oh yeah, yeah. Speaking of which, where is her other self?
That is Shotzi Blackheart's tag team partner on SmackDown.
Yeah, I didn't see her on SmackDown. What's happening?
Her and Shotzi were not on SmackDown, which was some bullshit.
Yeah, I watched SmackDown this week and I didn't see a tank. And I'm like, what
apparently they only had time for Sasha, Bianca, Carmella, and Zelina. That was the only woman they had time for that week.
We had time
for Reggie versus Chad Gable, but not for Tank, Shotzi, and I almost want to go back and spit SmackDown now. Why'd you have to bring that up?
I mean, honestly, like, you know, no Tank, no Shotzi. I can understand why you would spit SmackDown. Same reason, you know, like I can see why, you know, I spit Raw. Like, you know, we have particular things that we need to see. And if they don't do it, spit.
Shotzi needs to be on TV every week with Knox, Tegan Knox, and that Tank.
Yeah. AEW, like I said, but the fact that they kicked it off with a fucking 10-man tag match and they were, you know, I didn't see Luchasaurus because of that, I spit AEW.
Listen, I watched the bump and Shotzi and Knox were on the bump. You know what they said?
Bump, bump.
Somebody told them that they were wondering if they were going to soup up the tank so that they could shoot shirts farther back into like the nosebleeds because that's where they normally sit. And Tegan Knox said, she wants a gun like China's that will shoot like multiple t-shirts. That's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
They want to strap like a mini gun to the tank that'll shoot multiple. Like they're going to soup this tank up shoot multiple t-shirts out into the crowd.
I'm 100% with that shit.
Get these girls on my fucking TV. Did you see any of the stuff with Zoe Stark and Io Shirai? And it was like a quick segment where they were like, hey, let's be friends. And Io's like, no.
Negative.
Did you see Mandy Rose talking to a couple people backstage?
I did not see Mandy Rose at all.
Did you see Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter versus Frankie Monet and Jesse Kamehameha?
The fact that I know nothing about any of these people who you're speaking about, no, I did not see that.
So Casey Catanzaro is the American Ninja Warrior chick.
Oh, I remember you mentioning her before. Yeah.
Frankie Monet is Taya Valkyrie, John Morrison's wife from Impact.
I remember hearing about her, but I have not seen her like in on show.
She kind of looks like Beth Phoenix.
Speaking of Beth Phoenix, she was actually in the building this week. How long has she been in the building?
She's been in the building for a while.
Oh, okay.
Did you see the interview with Roderick Strong
for a while? Huh?
Did you see the interview with Roderick Strong and Malcolm Bivens?
That is a negative, sir.
Huh. Okay. Did you see Imperium versus Hit Row?
No, I told you I didn't see Hit Row this week.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck did they have on the show? Did you see Dexter Loomis sending a picture to Indy Hartwell that she opened up in front of Candace and Johnny?
Yes.
Okay. I am so happy about this. So Dexter Loomis sends a picture to Indy Hartwell. She opens it up, and it is Indy, Candace, Johnny, and Dexter with fucking, how am I losing his fucking name right now? Austin Theory, who's got like a fucking sack over his shoulder, tied to a stick in the background at the sunset, and Candace and Johnny, who think for whatever reason they have to police what Indy Hartwell does with her own vagina. She is a grown woman and she can give that pussy to whoever she wants. Damn it. Say, no, this isn't happening. We're not letting him be part of the family. So Indy suggests a match. A custody of Indy Hartwell match. Where if Dexter Loomis wins, he gets to join the way. And if he loses, they're going to put a chastity belt on her. They're going to sew her vagina up. It is locked up. Nobody's getting that shit.
Oh, man. I need Dexter to get some love. Like,
I do too.
Like, I'm with this.
Do you see Bronson Reed lose to Adam Cole?
Yes.
And then Kyle O'Reilly came out, lost his cool, so he's not Cool Kyle anymore.
I didn't know about the Cool Kyle thing, or maybe I just forgot.
It's fucking terrible. You don't want to know about it.
Okay.
Basically, he's been doing the stupid Cool Kyle thing where he's all relaxed and zen and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he was not relaxed at all there. He was very much on edge.
He dropped Adam Cole on his neck on the edge of the steel steps.
Yeah, he almost killed the man. Like... Yeah.
All right. We got a lot here.
Was that a cough? Not...
That was a cough.
Okay, well, then you don't get a blessing. Continue.
Not good enough for Hulu NXT edition. We have a Hit Row promo where they talk about Legado del Fantasma and Imperium. Because they are fighting Imperium later tonight.
Improve black and brown relations. I don't approve this at all.
Frankie contemplates the possibilities of what she can do with the Robert Stone brand, says maybe they'll be a tag team. Is where Frankie Monet is Taya Valkyrie, the one that kind of looks like Beth Phoenix.
Oh, you talk about this already. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Never mind.
Casey and Caden take exception to the fact that they think that they're going to get a title shot when they just showed up and they're just now talking about becoming a tag team, and they've been there and they've been teaming. The tag team champions, Zoe Stark and Io Shirai. Zoe wants to be friends. Io's like, nah, I ain't about that shit. And they're like, all right, well, maybe we could just like have some kind of mutual respect. Mandy Rose is scouting Gigi Dolin and JC Jane backstage. And as the interviewer comes up to find out what they're talking about, she basically tells him to fuck off. It's a private conversation.
Casey and Caden conversation. See your way out of it.
Casey and Caden defeat Jesse Kamehameha and Frankie Monet because Robert Stone got involved where he didn't need to get involved. And Robert Stone is going to get kicked out of his own brand. He's already lost control of it. He's getting kicked out very soon.
Wait. So Robert Stone got kicked out of the Robert Stone brand?
Not yet. He's going to, because he's fucking up.
Oh,
Like he was fucking up, and Aaliyah left and went to fucking Raw, and Frankie Monet came in and took over, and now he's costing her matches. So he's gonna get the boot.
Frankie Monet's probably gonna whoop his ass. So
I'd prefer that Shotzi Blackheart came back down and ran him over the tank again, but neither here nor there. She's
picking up and getting together her multiple shot tank. So
yeah. We got a Roderick Strong interview. Basically, Malcolm Bivens takes over, says he brought Roderick Strong back to be a number one, not a number two or a three. That they're interested in a cruiserweight title match, but first they're going to focus on beating Bobby Fish. That is what they want to do first. So, Diamond Mine.
How many fish would Bobby Fish fry if Bobby Fish could fry fish?
A lot.
Same fish.
Then in our main
event. Are they all back yet?
Who?
Undisputed.
I mean, every member of Undisputed Era is back, but it's not a thing anymore.
Well, I know it's not a thing. I'm just saying, are all the members back now?
Well, yeah, Roderick Strong is feuding with Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly's feuding with Adam Cole.
Okay. I thought that was all of them. I just couldn't remember.
Imperium ends up getting the win over Hit Row. Legato jumps. Boo. Top Dollar. Swerve comes in and clears house with a chair. Runs them off.
So is Hit Row like faces or heels? Because like,
dude, it's really kind of hard to tell. Like, they're really fucking cool. So I'm gonna say baby faces because Imperium's heels and Legado del Fantasma's heels. But they kind of started off as heels when Swerve won that cruiserweight title.
Yeah, the way you described North American them at title. First to me, it seemed like they were heels. But it's just like if the way you're describing things now sounds like they're baby faces.
Well, they cut all of their promos in kind of like a cipher.
Okay.
And it's really cool and entertaining. They've got this cool factor about them that you can't not like them.
So the same thing that happened in 96 with the NWO is what's happening with Hit Row.
Kind of, yeah.
They're supposed to be healed, but they're so fucking cool you kind of end up liking them.
Yeah, but I think they've just kind of accepted that and made them baby faces now.
I got you.
You spit or swallow in NXT?
I'll swallow NXT too.
There was some good shit here. And they gave me the one thing I wanted, which was Dexter versus Johnny Gargano in a match for custody of Indy's pussy. All for it.
All about getting that pussy.
I mean, I'm all for the match happening, even though I do not agree with the idea of two men fighting over control of a woman's pussy. She should be able to do with it whatever she wants. It should not be a man's decision.
It definitely should not be, but if she gave them that choice,
she did. Like
she gave them that power, so she was in control, and she chose to give them that control.
Power of the pussy.
Hold on. What movie was that? Where did I get that from?
Well, this Diamond Upside Down as a Vagina was Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, but there was some movie with what was her name? She was on Lost. She was Alex on Lost.
You're speaking French.
I know you didn't watch Lost because you're a fucking loser, but she had another movie that she did where somebody was talking about the power of the pussy, and she did the whole thing where she was like, the power. And it was, what the fuck was the name of that movie? Anyway,
didn't they also do something like that in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back when they were talking about the Click Commander?
Possibly.
Anyway, I'm going to swallow NXT as well. What was your favorite show this week, Travis?
Well, my least favorite show was Raw.
Yeah.
Because fuck y'all. I'll probably say SmackDown.
I'm gonna go with AEW because I was gonna go with SmackDown until I realized they didn't give me Shotzi or the Tank or Knox, and I just can't rock with that anymore. So, because you're back, I will give you SmackDown as the best show of the week because I am a gracious host. But just know that
the Tribal AEW, Chief is going to destroy John Cena, and I can't wait. Oh, I'm so excited to see this happen. You have no idea how happy I am. And continue to build this until WrestleMania when you give me Roman Reigns versus The Rock. And I will
quite possibly ejaculate all over my television screen.
Do you think there's a chance John Cena turns heel at some point with this?
Never.
Okay, so I want to remind you of something real quick that I thought about and I tweeted about today. Hollywood turned Hogan heel. Hollywood turned The Rock back heel. Hollywood could turn John Cena heel.
He did
screw Finn Balor out of his rightful title match.
Yeah, but Roman's already the heel in that situation. They've got the crowd booing him. They wouldn't fuck with that.
No, but after this match, he may turn heel and then maybe feud with Finn Balor for a little bit and possibly. Finn Balor gets a title shot.
That would make sense, but I don't see it happening, but it could happen. Like, if it happens, I wouldn't, like, be upset about it. But I don't think it will.
You want to get back in your chair so we can plug our shit and get out of here?
I mean, I guess I could get back up because the floor is not comfortable at all.
I can't believe you did all of NXT from the fucking floor.
Yeah. Hold on.
Like, if you're not watching on Pornhub, which you should, by the way, also numbers on Pornhub, baby. Travis.
Our model rank on Pornhub went down, though, so I need y'all to get that shit together.
I do agree. It did go down. It's actually back up. We're back up to 97,000.
Okay.
But we're sitting at 9,000 views.
Oh, yeah. The numbers are good there. It's just our ranking went down, and I'm not okay with that. So I need y'all to get it together.
I agree. Though we are still in the top 100,000 porn stars on Pornhub, which is one of my favorite things to say. So, if you guys are checking us out on Pornhub, you guys will be able to see Travis there. If Pornhub is not your thing for whatever reason, I know JJ watches us on YouTube. Go be like JJ. Listen to what Travis said. Go follow us on YouTube. Watch the video there. And you can watch Travis cover NXT from the floor and subscribe to our show. We would greatly appreciate it. But you guys
stayed on the floor anyway. In protest of the bullshit that happened on Raw.
Is there a creation conversation coming anytime soon? Because I feel like it's been like 6 months.
We just did one last month. What are you talking about?
I don't remember that.
It was the E3 edition, but we did creation conversation.
Wasn't that just you and Kobe?
Yeah, but it was creation conversation.
Doesn't count. That doesn't count.
It was creation conversation.
Listen, I need John and Mara and I need trivia so that I can sit there and guess the shit and then get mad at you guys for not knowing what the movies
you
are.
You want to see us play Name That Movie? Is that what
yes.
it is? Yes. Do you really misname that movie that much?
Dude, you have no idea how many times I'm in the car and I'm yelling at my fucking radio the name of the movie and I'm like, how do you not know this? How do you not know this? Or when I know it and I don't realize I know it and then I hear it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm a fucking idiot. I knew that.
Name That Movie is fun. It really is.
So
probably one of the most genius things I've ever done.
But when is that coming back?
I don't know. I got a lot going on. Like I'm in the process of trying to move, and it's just like there's stuff here that gets moved that's not getting moved, and it's there's a whole thing.
If you're free that early September, I'll give you the exact date. Your niece is having her first birthday. So if you want to come out and celebrate.
Oh, little white baby's birthday?
Yeah.
Damn, it's been that long already?
Yeah, it's been a year already.
Jesus.
I kept a child alive for a year, Travis.
You did. You know
how proud I am of that?
You should be proud. You lasted an entire year.
I kept a dog alive for 10 years, so I feel like if I hit 11, I've really achieved something. But
You have.
You guys can find
Has
me
she said
on Twitter.
Words yet?
Yes and no. So you'd love this. She says kitty, but she doesn't say kitty. She says titty and she whispers it.
That's wonderful.
So she'll see the cat and she'll go titty.
That's great.
She'll say dada, mama, but nothing like it. She just says it. It doesn't seem like she's directing it at either of us.
She just says the syllables. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually like asked my mother today what my first words were. And she said my first word was bye. And I'm just like,
so,
that's very appropriate. That tracks. That's 100% Travis. My first words was telling somebody to go away.
Cutest thing ever. She'll wait. So she'll start crawling out of the room that we're in. And I'll say, Zoe, no. And she'll turn around. She'll look at me and she'll wave bye bye. and then turn around and start crawling.
Great.
Yeah.
Your kid is fucking awesome.
Yeah. So you guys can find me on Twitter at Matt Ritter. That's at M-A-T-T-R-I-D-D-E-R. You guys can find Travis on Twitter and Instagram at Sir Cussalot. That is at S-I-R underscore C-U-S-S-A-L-O-T-T. You guys can find us on Twitter and Instagram at both The Creation World, that's T-H-E-C-R-E-A-T-I-A World, and Smackin' It Raw Pod, Smackin' It Raw Pod, Twitter and Instagram. Also Facebook, Facebook.com/Creation World, Facebook.com/groups/Smackin' It Raw, Facebook.com/groups/Super Flashy Arrow of Tomorrow, and creationworld.com, where we have intro videos where you can learn about all of us and what we got going on over at Creation World. As Travis said, this weekend, a new episode of Return to Wrestling will drop for free for the public. And if you want to hear the episode of Bash at the Beach, where Hogan turns, and we cover that with Kyle from Apron Bump, subscribe to the Patreon and get that a month early. Otherwise, you got to wait a whole month to hear it. And why the fuck would you want to do that? We actually brought a third man on to cover the third man. Yeah. That is worth it.
It is. It is. It is. And honestly, he's one of the most beautiful men on the planet. So it's
he is very pretty. And I got people calling him Pretty Kyle, and he's not happy about it. So keep calling him Pretty Kyle.
Oh, 100% keep calling him Pretty Kyle then. Like, 100%. It's just like, now that I know that he hates it, I'm going to call him Pretty Kyle from now on.
Yes.
Not only am I going to call him Pretty Kyle, I'm going to call him Pretty Kyle, like Kyle. South Park mm-hmm. style too. And I'm sure he'll hate that even more. And
oh, he absolutely hates that even more. So,
oh, that's great.
Did I forget to plug anything?
I don't think so. Dungeons at the Dark is coming back soon, y'all.
I promise. Once we get a time that all of us can get together and do it, we're going to really do it.
The thing. We just got to get everybody together. It's a bringing together of the force, you know.
Also, I'm going to plug it until then. August 13th, Friday the 13th, a special episode of the Havoc Hour. Or two episodes. I think he's going to separate it in two because we recorded this thing for 4 fucking hours. Me, Reek Havoc, and Katie Bebe break down the entire Friday the 13th franchise.
Oh.
So, on Friday the 13th, that will be released.
Including Jason in Space?
Including Jason in Space.
Also known as Jason X, but yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah, I remember Jason.
So, Katie had never seen him. So, we got Katie to binge watch the entire thing and then got her reaction to what she thought.
Even Season of the Witch?
No, Season of the Witch is Halloween.
You're right. Gotcha.
I think she did watch Season of the Witch, though, because that's how this started was. We did a Halloween episode where me and Reek were big Halloween fans. So we covered that whole franchise. Katie just sat in and listened to us bullshit and argue back and forth. So, she started watching Halloween. I noticed that it was Friday the 13th coming up, and I told Reek, hey, why don't we do another episode this time on Friday the 13th? Katie said she'll watch all the shows so that she can participate and then talk about, watch all the movies so she can participate and let us know what she thought of them, being it's her first time watching all of them all the way through.
How old is Katie? So
we did that. Katie is 25, just turned 25.
These children, man.
Dude, you have no idea. Like, they were talking, and somebody said,
wait, how old is Reek?
Reek is 27.
These children, 28? Sir.
I believe.
Why do we keep participating in things with these children? Like, they're
so Katie's co-host Savannah is 20. She said she was 4 in 2005. Travis, we graduated high school in 2005. We graduated high school in 2005, and she was 4.
Oh my God. I don't even know where to go from there on that. Let's just end this show.
For Sir Cussalot, Travis Pointer, I am the Warden Matt Ritter. We are Smackin' It Raw, and we are the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub.